Blog Talk Radio.
It's a Gridiron Stud Show and a promo that's got the flow. Football knowledge from toe to toe with Amo, Calamino, and the other host. You already know Chad Wilson brings you the show. Dial us up, give us a call. We're waiting here to talk some ball. 347-633-9365 is the number to call. So don't sit around, no time to stall. Giving you football from wall to wall. And now we give you our two hosts, Amo and Chad, with your breakfast toast.
All right, breakfast toast getting served for you here today. It's the Gridiron Stud Show. We burnt the toast yesterday. I don't know what happened there, Amel. Just Blog Talk Radio being Blog Talk Radio. We got shafted yesterday. I don't know what to say.
We
about
got
that.
Shafted, and so did our listeners. Everybody got
yeah,
shafted.
Yeah, everyone got the shaft yesterday.
Except Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
they
them
got
too, because they got a bad name. I did tag them on Twitter when I was talking about the troubles we were having, and they, you know, gave me a typical customer service response. You know, we're looking
we're very
at problems.
Sorry for
our engineers
trouble.
Are on it. Yeah, I love that name, engineers.
Yeah.
Some dude.
You mean the guy in India that you're paying to do this? Yes, the engineer.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe it's that, or it's some dude in Indiana in a pair of beat-up jeans and a long-forgotten concert T-shirt.
With the server in his closet, you think?
Probably. Who the hell knows? But nevertheless, we're on today, and we're on for now, so let's just live it up while we can. Several things to get to today, and do remember, it's Straight Talk with Warren Sapp Day here on the Gridiron Stud Show. The NFL Hall of Famer will join us here in roughly 15 minutes to give us his insight, and he always has great insight on some of the latest and greatest topics in college and NFL football. So can't wait to hear his thoughts on some of the things that were going on. Amel, the Patriots are 10-0. Should the Miami Dolphins of 1972, however many are remaining, should they be worried and concerned about the New England Patriots right now?
Well, the short answer I'll give you real quick is yes. But here's why. They're 10-0. Okay, now here's their remaining schedule. They're going to Denver, which is probably...
You and these remaining schedules, man. What am,
well, it's important. I mean, dude, listen, they're on
it's
a mission.
It's always that
I mean,
team you
teams,
never expected that gets you. You know how that works.
I know how it works, but they're on a mission. Most teams, I agree with you. You know, you don't know who's going to get you. But these guys seem to be on a mission. So, you know, let's look at their remaining schedule. At Denver next week, which I think will be the toughest game, even though the young quarterback's going to play. I actually think they look better with him right now. So that'll be tough. Then they're home with Philly. That's a win, if you ask me. At Houston, who's playing much better, but, yeah, I mean, maybe they're if Houston somehow, but their quarterback situation
please.
Is a disaster.
Please. Yeah, he's a disaster.
Yeah, that's not happening. And then Tennessee, they have Tennessee at home. That's a win. Then they're at the Jets. I guess the Jets have played them tough. So that to me is that there's two stumbling blocks potential, at Denver, at the Jets. They're at Miami the last game of the year. What I saw Sunday just doesn't lead me to believe Miami's beating New England if New England's 15-0 going into that game. So.
Yeah, it'll probably be the Eagles that gets them. You know, that's how this whole thing
works. Oh, man. If the Eagles get them,
yeah,
call me shocked.
The Eagles will get them.
Yeah, okay.
So whatever.
In New England,
They
should be worried. Short answer: yes, I would get worried right now.
The Patriots aren't going undefeated, man.
Nevertheless, for the regular season.
Yeah, the regular season. It's a totally big, you know, totally different story there. But nevertheless. The other big story yesterday was the, I don't know, the security for Les Miles there in LSU. That was a big story yesterday. The word coming down early on was that he was going to be fired by the end of the day. It was just so definitive being put out there in social media. Les Miles did have a press conference on it, and here's a little bit of what he had to say during the press conference.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to say that I really said speculation on my job at this point is off limits, and the information that I have is do your job as you would do it. So, and that is, it's something that I took when I took that job 11 years ago. And if someone's asking me if I'm coaching for my job, I think I've done that for 11 years.
Do you still plan to speak to your team today about your job, like you said, after Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this will be a warm-up for the team meeting.
Lastly, about John Chavis.
Typical Les Miles there, just trying to handle this difficult situation as best that he can. Abel, could you make a case for Les Miles being fired?
No, I told you last show, no. We had listen, if he gets fired, there's going to be a line for his services. He's not going to be out of work very long. He's just not.
Emil, I have to think this, Emil, that if LSU is firing Les Miles, because, listen, it's all out there in the open, what he has accomplished, what he's done here, the amount of players he's put in the National Football League, which I believe on opening day, LSU Tigers comprise the most of any school that's out there, and the amount of success that he's actually had on the field with the LSU Tigers. I would have to say, Emil, there's no way that these folks over there are making a decision like this without having a pretty damn good idea that someone they really want is going to take the job. Whether that is Jimbo Fisher, whether that is Chip Kelly or whoever else, whatever the big name is that they want to see over there in Baton Rouge, there's no way they're making this decision and then going to go about on a search. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I mean, well, let me say, I agree with the premise and your logic. That doesn't mean these people always act logically. I mean, I agree with what you're saying.
It's Louisiana. I'm sorry.
It is.
All of our listeners. But by and large, they've handled their football program in an intelligent way over the years. So it's not like they're bungling fools when it comes to this whole football thing. And if there's two things that are going to be done right in Louisiana, or at least three in Louisiana, they're going to cook right,
They got lucky the first time because Nick Saban was a guy who did not have a ton of success. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't, you know, winning
Rose
Bowls.
You're going to call that lucky? Hey, how about they saw something in a guy and made a good hire? I mean, you're going to call that lucky? They're going to call the Nick Saban thing lucky? Come on, man.
Nobody
just going to take credit?
Why? I'd be the first one to tell you that Pete Carroll hire was lucky. Nobody, I mean, what? I mean, they got lucky. The guy
put it out of somebody saw something. They do interviews, Emil.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They do interviews.
Well, everybody does interviews, but not all of them end up working, okay? Then they got Les
Miles.
Hey,
before I forget on that, as much as you remember, and I know you follow these things closely, was Pete Carroll hired by a committee, or was he hired by an athletic director, as much as you remember about that process?
He was hired by Garrett, Mike Garrett, who, by the way, contrary to the way he's portrayed in some circles, was a great athletic director at USC, and the only reason he got fired is because when all that NCAA stuff came, he wouldn't kowtow to the NCAA because he knew what ended up being proved. The NCAA really didn't have a case. They made it up, which came out in the emails.
Yeah,
well, we don't have
Mike,
evidence.
Poor Mike Garrett got the shafty. You know what? Between you and I, and you know, I'm sorry to hit you with this curveball, all right? But we're going to do this right now, and then it's going to probably lead me to some research that I'm going to present to our loyal listeners here. Can you give me the five best hires in the last 20 years of college football?
I can give you, well, off the bat, I'm going Nick. Let's see, it's pretty easy if I start with Pete Carroll and Nick Saban.
Carroll. Which Nick Saban? Which hire?
Both. How about twice? Because he revived an LSU program that had been very mediocre for a long time, and you brought up the name. Thank you for remembering a fellow Paisan, Gary DiNardo,
Jerry DiNardo.
He was not exactly killing it at LSU. Nick came and revived that program and then fixed Alabama. So I'm going to give Nick Saban twice on the list, okay?
Okay.
Real easy. Wait, I got four for you. Here.
And how many times we
Pete
put
Carroll,
Urban on there?
You asked me the question. Of course I put Urban on there. Pete Carroll.
Well, we're going to do this together, you and I.
Okay, Pete Carroll. Nick Saban 1, Nick Saban 2. Whatever order you want to put those three, I don't care. I'm not going to fight with you, okay?
We're just getting them
Urban
down on
Meyer,
the board here right there.
Ohio State, not the Florida one, because Spurrier had handed that program off in good shape, okay?
Time out. So because the guy in front of him was great, they don't get credit for hiring another great guy? I think you get more credit for doing that.
Well, whatever you want, but Urban's only going on there once, so you could pick it because he had two good programs. It wasn't like either one was a disaster. Granted, Ohio State was having some issues when they fired Trestle.
I almost want to put Urban on here as the Utah hire, to be honest with you, but whatever. We'll go Florida.
Well, listen, why don't you have an Urban Meyer party?
Hey,
how
listen,
about we just
want everywhere he goes, okay? So
let's make it this. Let's just say this.
We
got to
go,
Carroll, 10.
We got to go 10 because we got to dig here. Let's do some digging.
Yeah, Pete. I'm going to dig. I'm still going, okay? So you got, we'll give you both Urban Meyers, both Nick Sabans, Pete Carroll.
You're not
there's
allowed
five.
To say Jim Harbaugh because it's too early.
Too early. So. Steve Spurrier at South Carolina because that program had not had back-to-back 10-win seasons in its history before he got there.
Okay.
Steve Spurrier. Who's at Duke right now?
Cutcliffe.
Amazing job at a program like Duke. I know this year hasn't been what the last couple were, but amazing job at a place like Duke that just doesn't
David
even care about football.
Yeah,
you David don't you don't agree or you do?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do this thing. We might end up with more than 10, and then we'll start axing.
The guy at Mississippi topic. State has been nothing short of amazing, okay? The pro, who's the coach on there?
Dan Mullen.
Amazing when you consider what Mississippi State was before he got there. And
a
what they
yeah,
become.
No doubt.
They were
no
a tragedy.
Doubt.
Total
yes.
tragedy, okay?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to give the Mississippi coach as much credit because Mississippi over the years has had some pretty decent football. Not great
they
always,
have.
But they have. So Mississippi State was a tragedy. I put him there. Can I count Bill Snyder at Kansas State because he came to
no.
a tragedy, fixed it, left, and then they
no. No,
he beyond, fixed the second
beyond
tragedy.
20 years. And you know I'm a Bill Big Snyder fan, but we're going to keep him.
No,
off
no,
this.
Wait, but he yeah. left. Don't you remember? He left for a period of time.
It was really easy to bring him back, Hamel. Really, like, you were here, you were winning, you left, sucked, they called him up, brought him back. No wizardry there, I'm sorry.
Okay. And I can't count the first time?
I'm
how about Bob Stoops at Oklahoma? We're kind of forgetting that. Bob Stoops came to an Oklahoma
program. Is he beyond 20 years?
No, it's not. He came in 1999.
Seems like 20 years ago to me.
Yeah, it seems like 20 years. You forget John Blake handed off a team that was going 3-8. Okay.
Yeah, good old John Blake. We're going to throw Chip Kelly in there. I don't think there'll be any dissenting opinions on it.
Well, we can. How about, you know, you got to remember, Bilotti was probably a better hire further out. Bilotti fixed Oregon. Kelly inherited what was already a really good program.
Oh, you're tough. You're real tough there.
I'm tough?
You're tough.
Yeah, but which national championship that Kelly won do you like better? Oh, wait, he didn't win any.
Neither
okay.
did Bilotti, thank you very much.
Exactly.
Not everyone
so they
on
both
this
handed
list. Not everyone on this list has won national titles.
I'm not
by
saying
the way,
that.
Cutcliffe
I'm saying,
and Mullen
I'm saying
come
it wasn't
mind.
Any great. Listen, he won a couple Pac-12 championships. He lost with better teams to Stanford a few times, that I recall. Got to a national title game. Got beat. He had it going pretty good. But Bilotti inherited disaster. I mean, people forget Oregon had those silly Disney uniforms, and they were winning two games a year when Bilotti got there.
When they hire Bilotti? That's beyond 20 years.
He was in the 80s. I'm not saying you could put
he's
him on
out.
The list.
He's
I
out.
Think
he can't even. You know.
Yeah, you put can't
put
Bilotti on the. Okay, listen.
Put
you want Chip Kelly
come
on
man.
Your list?
Put Chip in there.
Put Chip on the list. Go ahead.
Let's keep going. Greg Schiano at Rutgers.
I don't know.
Al Golden at Temple.
I'll tell you what, don't laugh. It's too early yet, but the guy at Temple right now will be on my list all day, every day.
Oh, we could go with three too earlies right now. Like the four
yeah.
too earlies would be Harbaugh at Michigan, Herman at Houston, Fuentes at Memphis. We're not doing that. Cause those
but let me
depend.
Explain.
Sometimes
the
they
Harbaugh,
crash and burn. Like, what if you had said Larry
Houston
Coker?
One.
What if you had said Larry Coker in the middle of 2001? Everyone was a genius, right?
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. Herman, I'm not going to even put on the list probably at any point because, again, Houston's had good football over the years. People might forget we're a little bit older. We remember they've had some good football here and there over the years. I definitely, Temple and Memphis, to me, if they keep going, you've got to put those guys eventually on the list because those two programs were always tragedies, and now they're actually very respectable. So.
Listen, Temple was not always a tragedy. Al Golden came in there and turned them around.
Yeah, they won, what, seven games?
They played in a bowl game. They won 9. Thank you very much. You better learn your Al Golden history.
Okay.
Stop playing around.
He had
people
one
down
year.
Here.
This guy. If, we're gonna
down,
see if
my
this
local
guy can
listeners.
Keep it
going. My local listeners, okay, are gonna get all over you if you say anything dissenting about Mr. Al Golden.
One of the greatest
Charlie Strong
hires ever. One of the greatest hires ever who won't make our list is a guy from your school, Howard Schnellenberger. I mean, he's too far out, but that was probably one of the greatest hires
of all
in
time.
The history of college football.
Of all time. Does Charlie Strong at Louisville make this list?
I don't know. That's hard. I mean, I guess. I mean, he was a great hire there. It's hard. You know, it's hard when you give me a guy like Strong who hasn't done anything yet at Texas. And so I'm kind of got that fresh in my mind. I mean, probably if I go back and remember the days at Louisville, I'd say, yeah, no problem. The Texas thing is kind of clouding my vision.
Oh, you're holding the current against his past. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean,
is that what you're doing there,
the guy at Florida is on the list of too early right now, but so far returns have looked pretty good.
No, it looks pretty good, but, you know, again, can't do it in that first year, or I think even the second. I think you need at least 3 years. You know, I'm a big got to be 5 years thing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. One thing
I'm
sure is Lane Kiffin's
that.
Not on the list. It's easy to eliminate people.
Lane Kiffin?
No, he's gone. Yeah, I can't include Kiffin. What do you think about that? That's genius on my part, isn't it?
Yeah, true. True, very true. So here's what we got. I think, you know, obviously we've got a top 10 here. Pete Carroll, I don't know if we could rank these things. We probably need some time to really think about this. But let's see if we've got – let's see if we can get a top 3 out of this. Here's what we got. Pete Carroll, USC. Urban Meyer, Ohio State. Nick Saban, Bama. Nick Saban, LSU. Urban Meyer, Florida. Steve Spurrier, South Carolina. David Cutcliffe, Duke. Dan Mullen, Mississippi State. Chip Kelly at Oregon, Bob Stoops, Oklahoma, and I'm not going to do the Charlie Strong thing. So, what's our top three? I'm putting Pete Carroll there just so you don't have to say it and have people throw stuff at you because you're a big USC homer.
Well, I mean, okay, let's review resumes. Carroll, you almost have to put there. He's there 9 years, went to 7 straight.
Yeah, we don't even
BCS
need to
game.
Spend. We don't
yeah.
even need to spend.
Yeah, he won
time
6
on
of them.
Pete
He's
Carroll's
there.
On
there. Saban has to be there at Alabama. Because the guy's right. won 3 national championships.
Now we're fighting for that third spot.
The third spot to me, you
is
you
it
know,
Urban at Florida? You won. What do you win?
Yeah, I was
going
to say that. You know, as impressive as he's been at Ohio State, first year he goes undefeated. He's on the probation, can't be in anything. So he goes 12-0. He comes back last year. He goes 14-1, wins a national championship this year. I dare say a 10-1 team that's underachieved, so I'm a little disappointed with what I've seen. You know, I thought the product on the field this year was average most of the time, and then when they got their big shot against Michigan State, they lost to the backup quarterback. So for me, I'm going to have to go Urban first time round at Florida, where he won the championship in 2006 and 2008, and just he had a team sort of like Carroll's. They were just rolling. I mean, they were in BCS games all the time, and so, yeah, I mean, I
okay, so we'll call that our top three, and maybe at some point later on we'll mess around with how we rank all the rest of these. And perhaps we forgot someone. You know, we just kind of sprung this out of the blue. I'm sure there's a higher or two or three that we've missed there. You know, maybe Mac at Texas. You know, perhaps you throw him in there somewhere.
Well, here's
Mac
one
Brown.
That you might scoff at, but I want you to consider the vein I say it in. I mean, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame has done a hell of a job. I mean, if you really consider what he took over at Notre Dame, a team that really they'd win their 8 games by beating the Temples and Navies on their schedule. They were getting run out of the building every year by USC. They
yeah,
have lost
put
8
him
or 9
in, I'd
in a row.
I'd definitely put him into consideration. Yeah. You wouldn't
yeah,
have,
you
that,
have
that would
to put
be
him
such
in
a
there.
Hard sell on me. Not at
no,
all,
not
at all,
job.
Not at all. Yeah, well, I don't
what
know.
What are you, Matthew
maybe
McConaughey?
Not at all.
All right.
Maybe we can ask our special guest coming on what he thinks about our list and if we forgot anybody. Hall of Famer Warren Sapp is on with us right after this.
Yeah. Halloween. Tyler Barrett. Yeah, jumpin', them boys up to something. They just smell like two.
Hey, hey, hey. Do you love fantasy sports? Do you love money? Do you love excitement? Well, get ready, because you may have found your heaven. FanDuel has combined all of these great things into one amazing website. Turn your love for sports into money and excitement with 1 week and even one day fantasy leagues with a chance for enormous payouts. FanDuel pays out over $10 million in winnings weekly to its members. That's right, $10 million. One member has made over $600,000 playing in their league. Another customer entered a one-day contest for $25, and get this, cashed out $25,000 that day. FanDuel even offers a 100% money-back guarantee. Sign up now and join a league. If you don't absolutely love it, they'll give you your money back. You can enter leagues for as little as $1. For a limited time, FanDuel is offering a 100% deposit match bonus to Gridiron Stud Show listeners. That's right, they'll match your initial deposit all the way up to $200. What more can you ask for? Just head over to FanDuel.com right now and enter the promo code GridironStuds when you sign up. But you better hurry. The match bonus is going to end soon. Just head over to FanDuel.com and enter the promo code GridironStuds. Do it now!
Swear to you, Blog Talk Radio is pissing me off, messing up the commercial there. Hey, I seen this funny thing on Facebook, Emil. It's a picture, a side-by-side picture. One on the left side is Serena Williams. On the right side is Caitlyn Jenner. And under Serena Williams, they say America is like, she looks like a man, talking about Serena Williams, and then Caitlyn Jenner, she's beautiful. Like, what's wrong with us?
She looks like a woman, right? Exactly.
Yeah, what's really the matter with us? So,
You're asking the wrong guy. I got in a huge debate over the weekend with a friend of mine with that whole Caitlyn Jenner stuff.
I'm moving to Trinidad. I know you're a big Caitlyn Jenner supporter. You've said that many times here on the show.
Oh yeah, yeah, just amazing. It's amazing that the woman of the year, according to whatever Time or People, whoever it was, isn't even
prick.
A woman for a year.
Well, yeah,
she hasn't even been a woman for a year, but she's the woman of the year.
Well, this seems an appropriate time to bring on our Tuesday special guest. We never did ask him about the whole Caitlyn Jenner. I'm pretty sure I know how he feels about Serena Williams, but Caitlyn Jenner probably has a pretty strong opinion on that. Warren Sapp joins us here on the Gridiron Stud Show, as he does every Tuesday. Mr. Sapp, Caitlyn Jenner, fan?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Mr.
Warren.
That's how y'all hit your ball?
That's the intro. That's the intro today, man. I lost my Warren Sapp straight talk intro.
I think I was listening to you guys just a second ago, and I think somebody said the P word.
Did we?
It didn't end with an S, though.
Which
what P word?
Now I'm nervous. What the hell did I say?
PR.
Yeah, what did we say?
Did somebody say a prick?
No. Yeah, I did say, prick.
You said that?
Yes, I said our woman of the year has a prick. What's wrong with it?
In
this country.
That's the end of discussion for me. If you still have him down there, and I know he has a name because we all name
right.
it. So I mean, as soon as you chop him off, then we'll throw you into the ladies category. But
What are we doing?
He still wanted to, have
women
relations, but he just wanted to dress a certain type of way and feel a certain type of way. So
let me ask you something.
And we're in the land of the free and the home of the MF Brave. So leave it alone. I gotta ask you a question.
I'm being serious. I don't want to turn. I got a friend of mine put up something about that over the weekend on social media.
Okay.
He agreed with me, and other people chimed in. I said, "Listen, I don't really care. I'm more one of these people. I don't care what you do as long as you're not hurting anyone else. You
want to
do something, go do it as long as you're not hurting anyone else." Here's my only take with that. Wouldn't you define that? At least I do. As some sort of mental illness that we need to somehow figure out.
I'm not smart enough, and I don't have a degree in that, so I'm not about to try to diagnose anybody. I definitely don't think that Caitlyn, Bruce, or whatever you want to call him, her, or you know, however you want to categorize it, is hurting anybody.
No.
No. Definitely
actually,
not.
What he's doing is giving
no,
people
until,
that actually
until
have,
he,
that actually
takes away
have,
an award.
You know, that, you know, the award thing is crazy. That's just wild. I agree with the people that sent the one back. That was like, you know, I can't put my name beside it. You know, I got to send it back.
Right.
Yeah, do that. You know,
yeah.
Stand,
yeah, I mean,
take a stand like that.
My whole thing
was
the ESPN. They gave him that award. And,
come on,
and
that
his.
Was crazy. And there was a military veteran or something underneath it or something. That was crazy.
And there was a girl that played through brain cancer before passing away, unfortunately.
Yeah,
played
crazy,
high school basketball.
Crazy. You can't do that. But you can in today's instant gratification world that we live in.
Yeah.
We can.
Okay,
we
well,
can. Did, hey, I got to ask this question. Robin Roberts ever get an award like that from ESPN? I mean, she used to work there and overcome cancer. Has she?
Stop it. Stop it.
That's disgusting.
Stop it. I mean, we can roll out a bunch of people who are worthy and deserving of awards, and they skipped over.
I mean, that's
for
even
the hot,
a, but that's
for
a
the
former
media
employee
topic. That, that's
of
just,
ESPN.
That, hey, that's not no cool. former. ABC is still owned by this. All the Disney. This is all Disney Channel. This is all
well,
the Disney
yeah,
family.
You know, if,
it,
if we're
going to
go that
umbrella.
Route,
yes. It's the
but
same
she was
umbrella.
Actually in ESPN.
I know.
Studio.
It's still there when they do some basketball. I'm sure. I mean, just. I mean, come on. Stop. You know you can run down a list of foolishness that they give out awards for. Come on, you know this.
Speaking of a list, did you hear our list of great hires in college
yes,
football?
Yes, I like the top
years?
Three.
Missing
you
them?
Can't put Mac Brown in. You can't.
No.
No.
Would he
Mac,
make a
Mac
top
was
10?
Very good, but he never got over the hump enough for talent.
Mac Brown wasn't even coaching in his last 5 years. So.
Man, when was the last time before Mac Brown that they won a championship at Texas?
1960.
There you go. You got to give Mac
70. 70, buddy.
Yeah.
My bad. It was BS, and that's before
yeah.
Sapp.
Yeah, it was before Sapp. That's right. BS, before Sapp.
It was before Sapp, baby.
Did we miss anyone on that list?
No, I heard the list and I like the list. I mean, because y'all were talking about in nowadays in the modern
yeah, last
era,
20
right?
years.
Yeah,
last
yeah,
20
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not last 20. Okay. Yeah. It excludes Erickson in the last 20 because he's got to go back to 89 to get him hired. And then he's 60,
yeah, I have to admit, my guy that I pulled up from your school was the best probably
yeah,
ever.
63 and 9, no doubt about it.
Snellenberg
yeah. kicked that whole
no,
thing
no,
off.
No. The other one. Erickson.
Oh, Erickson.
Yeah, 63-9. Yeah.
He's the greatest. He's
all
a great
right,
hire.
Emil, I'm going to turn it over to you because we definitely got some things Sapp needs to give us.
We got all kinds of things.
Let's
and
go,
don't
Emil.
Forget,
let's
at, the
go.
End, at the end, Sapp, I got to find out about your Thanksgiving plans because everybody's got Thanksgiving on their mind. But now,
no
I've got
to
ask
because I already told you don't talk to me about no football until after you eat your turkey. So I want to know you eating your turkey at, no doubt.
Okay. I usually eat my turkey, by the way, during the Lions game because I don't feel bad about missing a couple quarters of that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I never feel bad about missing a Lions game. But they're on a hot streak right now. They got two in a row.
I know. They're on a hot streak, and the Eagles are coming. Now, let me ask you, what do you make of this whole the girl that's offended or the mother with the Cam Newton gesture? I mean, I see
Stop
Aaron Rodgers do that
Stop
all the time.
It. Stop
Aaron Rodgers is
Stop
crazy.
It. Stop it. I read an article. And you know, I wouldn't tell somebody to go to Deadspin, but there's an article on Deadspin, and it was like the last haven of, you know, like the society where we haven't crossed over because you know you got to a certain point, you know, because when Tom Brady scores his touchdown, he spikes it and you know he's firing up his team and oh what a leader and everything like that. When I heard Cam Newton say his son said, dab on them fools, dad, it's over. It's over. I mean, it's over. It was over for me at that point. I mean, once I see the brother walk up to the podium and say, my son, you know, I hit my son on the way out of the door. What you want me to do today if I score? Dab on them fools, dad. It's over.
Well,
I was dabbing with him Sunday. Come on with it then. Let's get it. I mean, come on, man. We playing a kid's game, getting a king's ransom. There's no more touchdown celebration. There's no more, you know, thinking of something wild and going out doing it on Sunday. So we can't – I mean, and then I'm trying to figure out what Tennessee mad about. Everybody scores on y'all.
Well, No, I gotta tell you something.
And if you happen to be lucky enough to get one of them nice seats where you're right in the end zone, then turn to your kid and say, that's what happens when someone gets a touchdown. They get excited and sometimes they express it in a manner that you and I would not. I mean, you have to explain to your children that the world is made up of a lot of different people, and you can't be offended when somebody gets a little excited about scoring a touchdown in a national football game, and his son is at home watching a game on TV, and he told him to dab on them fools, Dad. You got to dab on them fools.
I hardly think that lady's child was paying attention.
My child told me to go do Dancing with the Stars. I came in second place. You know what I'm saying? This is what you do for your children.
By the way,
hey, I watched that.
Yeah.
Listen, after I did the first week, my little girl came to me like, Dad, my birthday is the finals week. I'm like, man, I was thinking about 6-7 weeks to be around here. You know? she won't be all in. So I was, yeah, you got to go.
I kept
all
saying
in
to my
you.
Wife when you were dancing, I said, you see why he was a good defensive tackle? Look at him. He's light on
no,
his feet.
No, your wife's like, no, I don't.
She didn't know why you're a good defensive tackle.
No,
I want to
dance with him. No, I
want to
dance with him. Yeah, that's all they were thinking. I want to dance with him. He'd be all over the dance floor. We'd never get knocked over. Yes, that's. I know this. Trust me. I went through the whole process. I loved it. Yeah, it was a great time. But
listen, I got to tell you something.
I was doing it for my child. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When your child asks you for something, you do it. No
doubt
about it. Yes.
I'm the atypical white guy. I love the celebrations in the NFL. Okay, now most, you know, I hear these white guys tell me, you know, act like you've been in the end zone before and hand the ball to the ref. It's like, listen, I want to see a guy get excited when he does something good. You score a touchdown, jump
do,
up,
do,
dunk
no,
the ball
no,
over
do,
the goalpost.
Do something nice like what Cam was doing. You're like, okay, I feel it. Like when they bouncing the ball, like the Chris Johnson thing when they doing that was cool. Now what Chad Johnson was doing with the coat and foolishness like that was too much. There's a line. You know, like the Icky Shuffle, that was nice. Like the Bob and Weave that, you know, St. Louis had, that was nice. The Smurfs, the Fun Bunch thing they had in White, that was nice. I mean, there's some nice ones. But then that's
I can tell you, you're going to disagree with me, Sap. My favorite one of them ever that made me almost roll off my couch laughing that night, and I'll never forget it, was when Terrell Owens caught the touchdown, pulled the Sharpie out of his sock and signed the ball and gave it to a kid. I almost cracked
First
up.
First of all, I agree with you, Emma, because we play the most humbling game on earth. The most humbling game on earth we play. And for you to stick a Sharpie in your sock to say, I'm finna go to the house, and then go to the house, sign that ball and give it up. No doubt about it.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
No doubt about it.
Think about that.
No doubt about it.
You got to be pretty
I get in fights with guys all the time when they complain about baseball players hitting home runs and getting excited.
That was the one that really started a brouhaha when your boy Batista hit that home run and flipped that bat.
Oh, you don't know. I'm a big fan.
You don't know. I was in Puerto Rico when this happened. Oh, my God.
I'm a big baseball guy, so I played, and I have a bunch of friends that all want to tell me about baseball. They love baseball. These guys still play. Some of them in their 40s, fast pitch, all that stuff, and they're telling me how he should act like he hit a homer before. I said, listen, I pitched. Let me tell you what my theory is. If I don't want a guy celebrating, I don't throw him a ball that he can hit 500 feet. If he hits it 500 feet, good for him.
Thank you.
Who are the people that are really that mad about that?
You really want to know? Old white guys.
Old white guys.
They hate it.
Old white guys. The traditionalists of the game. The traditionalists of the game. That is not how you act. You do not show up your opponent. You do not flip your bat and act like you've never hit a home run in your life. Really?
Yeah, okay.
Is that what you do?
I want to know
the dude that's saying that hit the home run in that kind of game, and I want to see his reaction.
Yeah, put his head down and jog around
that's
the bases.
All.
I'm letting
that's
you know
all.
Right now.
Yeah,
if
that's
I smoke
all.
One 400
you,
feet, you're going to know
dog,
about it.
Dog, you know this like I do, Chad. The amount of preparation that goes into a ball game when the opportunity meets that preparation and you make that play, man,
yeah, you're going to let people know, and it's just the
listen,
way they
get
man,
excited.
Listen, man, there's a rule in the NFL you can't take a helmet. I think it had a lot to do with it. I mean, I say Emmitt Smith used to take his helmet off. I mean, y'all wasn't mad at him. I mean, because
I think we
I was
might
doubt-
have,
Cause I was
we might have started that trend, huh, Sap?
Right, man, I used to say,
we couldn't keep our helmets on.
What? Lamar told me this when I was on my recruiting visit. You got to let them see that pretty face.
Yeah. We couldn't keep our helmets on, Emil. I mean, them things were coming off.
This is a good topic. Stay with me here because I have a question for both of you. I think this is the business. Here's what's interesting to me about the NFL. They don't want guys taking their helmet off. Now, I've always said this. The NFL tries to sell the emblem, the brand, the shield. They almost want the majority of players to be nameless and faceless.
Wrong. The shield and the team.
That's right. Okay, well, yeah, but they don't sell the player. See, the NBA sells the player. When you get a pregame for the NBA on Christmas,
LeBron James. I can't sell you something that I'm trying to replace within 3 years.
Right. Mm. Exactly. Right, I understand. You agree.
So
they don't sell the player.
So I'm going to sell you the Dolphin colors. I'm going to sell you the Dolphin cheerleaders. I'm going to sell you the Dolphin stadium. I'm going to sell you the experience of the game.
Do you agree with that approach?
Who?
You. Do you agree with that?
No, because I'm the pig. I gave him myself. No doubt about it. It has to be more than just a shield. But that's what we're talking about, what they believe. We're not talking about what it should be, right?
No, I'm just
asking
that.
That goes back to
what
you said. They don't want your helmet off because they don't want
people to
see. I got
a better one for you. It was a time when you couldn't even trade teams. You were never getting out of the team. That's why there was so much hate in between the teams. Because you knew once you were a Pittsburgh Steeler or a Dallas Cowboy, you were never going to be anything else.
That's
right. This is true.
That's right. Yeah. And Vince Lombardi was famous for threatening players that he would trade them, you know, because they were in Green Bay. And he'd say, listen, I'll trade you. And at the time, let's say Pittsburgh was horrible back in the 50s and 60s. I'll trade you to Pittsburgh or
I'll trade you to
Philadelphia.
Let's just go give it a real. Let's not go with a team that has that many Super Bowls. Let's go with the Weigler if we go back in the day because we know the Weigler wasn't good back in the day.
Right.
Back in the day. Yeah, you get traded to New England. It's cold, it's miserable, and you're going to lose games.
Yep. Yep, no, you're right. It's 100%. Yeah. Hey, we got a question for you now.
I'll trade you to Cleveland.
Come on, leave Cleveland alone, would you?
Hey, man, the mistake by the lake is always there. It's easy. It's low-hanging fruit, man. How about Johnny Manziel? You can't come
in. What
about him? I mean, the whole thing about it is he was progressing, playing well in football games, and everybody was trying to figure out why the coach wasn't making him the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Guess we figured out why.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, poor Johnny, poor Cleveland Browns.
You'll be amazed at the resources that they have at hand to find out the information that they're looking for. Now you figured out why he wasn't made to start quarterback, because they knew. Come on, man.
They knew, right?
Yeah.
Let me jump off the topic right quick,
Sap. Hold on right quick. When you were leaving Tampa Bay, how much control did you have over where you were going next?
Oh, except I was only offered. You know, you got to take the offers that you have, and I had two at the time. Cincinnati gave me an offer, and then I had the Raiders give me an offer, and I didn't want to be like, oh, you know, like smoked turkey or something sitting there, or like beef jerky sitting around, you know. I don't think beef jerky gets better sitting around myself, you know. Fresh pack, open it, you go. And I just wanted it over with because I knew I was only going to do 4 more years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you knew this. You knew when it was going to end for you.
It was my plan.
Okay.
I was not going to play and look like Kobe Bryant.
You were going to go out still a good football player.
No, I was going to go out on my terms, and I wasn't a good football player at that point when I ended. I was an okay football player at that point.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what?
Someone tell Kobe that.
To hear an athlete say that, that's actually really amazing.
An ex-athlete.
Now. You know what? Most people aren't introspective enough to say something like that.
That's why I always said I was cut from a different cloth because I knew what my square was and I knew what my limitation was. And when I didn't want to watch myself on film anymore, it was over.
Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people need to acquire that skill. Know what you are in life.
Oh, my goodness, they do. Oh, my goodness,
yeah.
They do.
But I give you credit, you know, Sap, because most people, you know, when they go out of something, you know, I always like to see someone go out like that as a fan. It hurts me to watch somebody where the game retires them. There's a great line in that movie Moneyball where Billy Beane's talking to David Justice in the batting cage, and he says, listen, you know, you're going to – or there's a line – I shouldn't say Justice. There's a line in the movie, he says, listen, you're going to be told you can't play baseball anymore. For some of us, it's going to come when we're 20. For some of us, it's going to come when we're 40. But at some point, somebody's going to tell you, listen, you can't do this anymore. And I always hate to see people go out where they're nowhere near what they were. You know, I understand we all age. But
no,
like,
no, I got this for you, Abel. How can you watch that yourself?
Yeah, how does Kobe look? Someone who's very hard on teammates.
No,
how does
Kobe go back and look
at himself?
Not hard on teammates, hard on himself.
True. Yeah. So,
because,
I mean,
because there's no way you exude this force or this, you know, this is how we do it to guys when you know you can't do it anymore. When I went to Oakland, the best thing that ever happened to me was Derek Burgess showed up. I was like, thank God. I looked at him, I said, boss man, I said, leaders. He said, what? I said, dog, I watch you go in that weight room twice a week, lift weights, condition yourself. I say, I can't do it every day. I said, you're going to keep me young. I said, you're going to keep me young. I said, I wouldn't be foolish enough to get in front of you the way you're looking like, man, what the hell is old man doing in front of me? Go.
Mm.
And I'm going to see if I can keep up with you. At no point, as a great athlete, can you fool yourself. That's what that's what bothers me all the time. Like Kobe. I mean, dog, you done tore your Achilles, you done tore your shoulder, you done tore the knee. I mean, there's only two things in the world that's undefeated. If Father Time,
the money.
You can't talk about the other one.
Yeah, well, the P word that does end with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the
all
money?
All day. It can't be the money. Mama didn't divorce
him. We could say he doesn't need it.
She didn't take half. I mean, she's still there.
Yeah, I know. $3 million kept her away from half.
That's what I'm telling you. And now the man that got $48 million in 2 years, come on, can't be the money, don't.
So what do
you
think is going on there? What's going on there?
Yeah, what is going
on? Why is Kobe Bryant still trying to play ball?
Hey, man, we all know an athlete, and we can go out through the history of time, who bounced the ball one too many, who walked out on the court one too many times, who ran out that tunnel one too many times, who got in the ring one too many times.
By the way, Bernard Hopkins is going to fight again.
Hey, man. Bernard Hopkins fighting again?
Again. He's in the ring again.
Oh, God.
Well, nothing was harder for me as a young guy, as a Muhammad Ali fan, watching Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes cried after that fight. He used to be Muhammad Ali's sparring partner.
Almost killed him.
Man, I couldn't watch. And I know Sapp likes this guy, too. This is, you know, this is a Florida boy. I couldn't watch Roy Jones at the end. That junk hurt.
Oh,
so you know, yeah. There's some guys that don't want to let it go.
That is no Roy personally.
Yeah.
And you get a call, hey dog, you gonna come to the fight? And you're like, that man, the kids, the kids got me this week, man. Something,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
Anything. But
you don't
want to
see that.
Are you kidding me? Oh, you don't want to watch this, man. It's just bad. I mean, we all have known the athletes to do it. I mean, it's just something in us that say, yeah, I can do it again. I don't know.
It's funny, Zap.
That
you
didn't
took
happen
this conversation
to you,
exactly where I was going with it, because my next question, football-wise, was, you know, the Broncos actually, to me, seem more dangerous right now with this young guy, a quarterback, than what I was seeing from Peyton Manning, who I think is a guy, unfortunately, who's hung around.
Yeah, well, let's not be so ready to anoint Brock Osweiler. Jesus, are you kidding me? You know who's
coming this week, right?
New England. I know.
Thank you. And you know what Bill Belichick do to quarterbacks? You will not have your number one receiver or the look you're looking for. It's over.
So you expect a long evening for Brock.
Hey, man, you seen that offensive line against the Chicago Bears? I thought it wasn't Peyton Manning's health. I thought it was the old line after I watched the first quarter. I'm like, Lord, they didn't want to put him in front of this old line. That's what this is. It has nothing to do with his health. I mean, that old line looked like Swiss cheese for a minute. What? And you telling
that's
people
the truth,
to go to
man.
New England with this boy Chandler coming off the edge, and you know they said, I mean, easily in them other boys in the middle? You finna deal with a pass rush here because you know Tom's going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I still feel that while I understand your point and I agree that this kid probably will struggle mightily, it hurts me to watch Peyton
mightily?
As a football fan.
Mightily, okay. Mightily. What do you expect this quarterback rating to be?
In this game?
Yeah.
Not very good.
Oh, okay. What's the over under 50?
Yeah, I'd probably place it at about, in today's game with the rules, I think you could probably get 50 and you're not a quarterback. I'm going to put it at 70.
Oh, no. All the money in the world, I'm taking the under.
Okay. Well, there we go. We have a straight talk right there.
There it is. There's no way he's hitting 80. And I'm telling you I'm putting it at 55. The over under, I put it at 55. No way.
Wow.
No way. No way.
Okay. So are you calling a blowout? Are you saying this is a Patriot blowout?
I'm talking about the quarterback. We weren't talking about the football game itself.
Oh, okay. Just the quarterback.
The
you think it could be a low-scoring game?
But the Patriots will win by 10.
Okay.
There you go.
Fair enough.
All right.
Should the Dolphins be worried, Tap? Because it could, is this
Dolphins? How do we get on the Mullets?
Well, because the Patriots are going to be 11-0, according to you, and that would put them
in the
72 Dolphins.
You're talking about the chance of the Dolphins winning
yes.
the game. Oh, okay. We'll get to that next week.
No. Talking about the undefeated.
Yeah. Patriots coming to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins ruining the season. I got it. Yeah. No.
Should the 72 Dolphins be worried that the Patriots are going to maybe run the table?
No, because the 72 Dolphins waited all the way to the Super Bowl, the last drive, and popped that champagne the last time the Patriots did this, right?
That was the one that probably should have made them the most nervous. But.
Yeah, it mounts. The pressure mounts, and a whole bunch of this and that goes down. But boy, that's a good football team with a great defensive coordinator and Belichick that's seen pretty much everything that you can show at him, and if they stay healthy. It's tough to beat them.
I think that's what everyone's thinking.
Hey, yeah. if they healthy, it's tough to beat them. I mean, even with that weak secondary, I mean, jeez. Wow.
They get it done with people you would never expect
they
to
get
it done with.
They get it done with the scheme, and the people in the scheme believe in the scheme. That's all you got to do as a defense. That's why we were so good. That's why they played Tampa 2 in Barrow, Alaska. That's why they played Tampa 2 in Japan. That's why they play it in every place you can find. If you can find 11 swinging you-know-whats to go out there and believe that if I reroute this man and push him out of bounds, get my depth, be on my landmarks, read the eyes of the quarterback, it will work. You just better have some horses up front to rush.
Look, if there's no pass rush, you'll get
it. It doesn't work if you don't have a defensive tackle that can do some stuff.
Listen, I think somebody's been looking for one for 15 years. I think they've been looking for
one. I've seen the Tampa 2 up close without a Warren Sapp. It doesn't really work without that.
Hey, man, ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Anthony McFarland took it over. I think he had 1 sack in 20 games.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So he knows what that deal is. Can the Panthers make it through the regular season undefeated, in your opinion?
Man, we're talking about a team right now that's playing with a lot of confidence. And
you
know that
better,
I know,
man.
Chad. Hey, I'm playing with a lot of confidence right now, Chad. And if you know, well as I do, whenever you have a lot of confidence and people go, all right, how do we stop the Carolina Panthers? Stop the run. Cam throws 5 touchdowns.
That's the
right.
I mean,
that's the hardest part.
Man, listen, when you have a two-headed monster and then it could possibly be a three-headed monster with a running quarterback on the option, that's really, really tough if you're showing up. And I'm the defensive tackle, and you go, okay, Sal, we got to stop this run game. All right, we got to stop the run game. All right, now the quarterback's throwing the ball good. All right, and the quarterback is 6'5" and runs 4.5. Are you shitting me? I mean,
I've told Emil on a number of occasions. I've met Cam Newton several times. He's a big human being.
Listen.
He's big.
Big. Fast, agile, mobile.
Yeah, it's not even right. It's not even right. He's a big guy.
On our show the other day,
I call him the purple unicorn because he's unique and special.
You know what? He should be the NFL MVP at this point, in my opinion, because if you look at what they have on the outside in Carolina, what he's doing down there is nothing short of incredible.
And a year ago, the right and left tackle retired.
Yeah.
The same year.
That's crazy.
Yep.
The same offseason. And then they got rid of one of his running backs out of the backfield, and then got rid of the one receiver that was actually catching the ball. But they drafted the ball from Florida State. Then he blew his knee out. I mean,
right.
He,
you'd have never been able to tell me at the beginning of this year that Cam Newton would have a game where he'd throw five touchdown passes because you can barely name who he's throwing the ball to.
Five different people that you can't name in a lineup.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what I said. To me, right now, he's your – and people get mad because they want to go, but Brady. But listen, Brady's great. I'm not denying that. But if you take what Cam Newton's
done
there –
Well, I got this for you. The NFL is the only league that if you have the numbers, they're giving you the trophy. I mean, because Barry Bonds supposed to have 10 MVPs in baseball, but they didn't
get
to him. But it's not going to happen in our league. It's not. Because we directly correlate – fans, fantasy, numbers, MVP. In that line. That, got to give it up.
Well, then I mean, Brady's getting it.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
I watched Dante Culpepper throw 49 touchdowns one season and didn't get it.
Yeah.
I know.
Speaking of five touchdowns, I got to bring you over here.
He's making moms
and little girls cry at the game because he's dabbing on food. There's no way.
or bapping.
Bapping or dabbing?
Yeah, bapping. You know, God. What is
Chad? Let me bring Staff to my Staff and I like the same team. We like the Cowboys, and I got to ask him a Cowboy question. Two guys got dismissed from the Cowboys last week. Cut supposedly. Because they didn't wear a suit on a road trip. Now, I call BS on that. I say that basically that the Cowboys are just saying that because if these guys could play, they could have showed up naked for the road trip and they'd still be on the Cowboys. So what do you say to that? Is that true? They got cut because they didn't wear a suit?
Oh, no, I agree with you. Because in any football organization, your worth and the BS that you bring is weighed. And if your worth on the football team don't outweigh the BS that you bring, you're out the door.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a convenient excuse. You know, Mr.
No,
Calamino didn't wear
excuse.
A suit, so we cut
not him. Not a convenient excuse. These idiots thought that they could come to the state without a suit. And
right.
Then their play doesn't equal you coming to the damn plane without a suit.
Yeah, that's so Jimmy.
That makes perfect sense.
People used to say this to me all the time. Hey, man, how do you come to the club with flip-flops on? You want to ask the people at the door? I just get dressed and show up. I mean, I don't really think about the part that, you know, that voice, you know, all that. I don't think about that part. I just go. I mean, if your worth ain't worth that, then you got to follow the rules.
Right. And that goes back to what you know, an old Miami coach, Jimmy Johnson, once said when he cut a guy for sleeping in a meeting. And they said, would you have cut Troy Aikman? He said no.
If it's Dan Marino, I wake Dan up, say, Dan, you had a rough night, you need a little coffee? I mean, that's what you do.
Exactly.
And listen, if your worth on the scale is not more than the BS that you bring to the organization, you are gone.
Yeah, and that works for everybody. Even legends, when they get to the point
STO. Listen, that's exactly what happened to Terrell. When the BS you bring, like Moss, when the BS you bring is more than the talent on the football field, you are gone.
That's what happened to Terrell Owens at the end of his career. I mean, people put up with Terrell Owens when he was an all-pro.
We can name a plethora of them. Hey, listen, too much.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's non-compliance. You got to go.
Right.
Or less miles.
No.
went numb. Three straight losses, and people start talking about, man, you didn't manage the end of that game too right. You might need
listen,
to go.
Man, this
we
is
won Jimbo
the riverboat gambler at every point in his life. When the man flipped that ball and it hit the ground and luckily bounced right back up to the kicker, I said, you know what, this man walk on water.
Yeah, exactly.
When you throw an oblong-shaped football in the air over your head as a holder, I mean...
Yeah, what guarantees did you have there?
What? I mean, if you throw this ball and you turn and look and throw it, I mean, it's a 30% chance you're going to complete that because you're down on your knee or whatever. I mean, this man grabbed the ball, throw it up.
Yeah, good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, he's lived a charmed life, old Doc. Anything he does.
Yeah.
It was
do you agree with him,
Sapp,
being on the hot seat, though?
This man did. It was unbelievable some of the things this man did on a Saturday afternoon.
What
Saturday
do you think
football.
Of him being on the hot seat, though? He's more than the hot seat. He's going to get fired. What do you think of that development?
Listen, how many championships he got?
One, I believe.
One.
How many wild, crazy, I can't believe he called that, I can't believe they did that plays he had?
Oh, several. More than we can count.
And then the last 3 weeks has been what? Clock management and foolishness and...
And Fournette can't get 100 yards. Let's be honest.
Hey,
that's
man,
really
you got one of the greatest,
it.
But you got Herschel Walker in the backfield. And you can't
but
get
you don't
a
have
first
anything.
Down. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's over. Listen, man, it's tough. Whenever you got an alumni that, you know, is looking at, you know, what they think is Herschel Walker in the backfield and a defense that's, you know, biting and playing pretty well, they expect wins. You got to win. You're judged by your wins and losses as a head coach. You're judged by your wins and losses. And they think they got a football team that can go to the championship in a weak year around America? Hey, man, come on.
Well,
Amo has a Thanksgiving question for you.
I just said,
I do. Okay, here we go, Warren. Do you like fried turkey? Because I've never had one. Everybody tells me it's great.
Do I need to fry you one, Amo?
Yeah, I mean,
you might
seriously.
Need to do that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I never had you. Well, you invited me, but you won't tell me where you're at. So how do I even?
No. Actually, I didn't invite you. I told you to make sure you had you a turkey and a fried turkey. So where you at? I'll come over with the bucket and the peanut oil.
I'm in Pennsylvania, man. You can hit New York 2 hours from my house.
Oh
you
my
can go
God.
To New York, drop
did
off
you,
my turkey.
You're in Pennsylvania. What? I mean, you in Philly?
No, I'm up near Scranton, 2 hours north of Philly,
okay,
2 hours
Scranton.
West of New York City.
I know you. I like Philly a lot. I know you. Yeah. You know what? When the snow starts falling and you get a couple of days off, you come south. I got you.
All right. See, that's
you.
Great. I planned on coming to Miami, actually. I visited Chad a couple years ago down there.
I got a 17 pounder. I drop him in there for you, and I got you.
Is fried turkey a staple in a SAP Thanksgiving? Is that a must?
It became one in 2010. I was out at the Chinaman's, George Chin. You know George Chin from the University of Miami. Me and him was out there, and, you know, I had to do the show on game days that morning. So we fired it up, and I said, George, I said, I'm not going to be at my mama's house for the first time in a long time. I said, this is not fun, and I'm not going to Nana's house. This is even worse, you know, because Nana got the best mac and cheese you ever tasted in your life. Oh, God, Jesus. oh, my God. So I got Ellie in the kitchen. She's trying to duplicate Nana mac and cheese, trying to duplicate my mom's dressing. So they's like, who's going to do the turkey? I'm like, I'm going to fry a turkey. George looked at me like, huh? I'm like, I got this. So went out, bought the bucket, got the blow up, fired it up, dropped it on there, pulled the peanut oil up to the line. I mean, they just tell you exactly what it is. Then you hook the thing inside the turkey, drop them in there, and it's 3 minutes for every pound. So your 17 pound, it takes 51 minutes. So, boom, there it is.
Yeah, you got to love that.
I mean, you're talking about something juicy? Oh, my goodness. I got one for you, Emma. Have you ever had smoked turkey?
Oh, I've had smoked turkey.
I've had smoked turkey. You know what? I'm yet to have a fried turkey.
All right. I got a smoked turkey this year I'm going with.
You're going to smoke a turkey or you're getting
a smoked turkey? No, I ordered a smoked turkey from the firefighter guy that's over here at the little spot right over here by the car wash. He's a good barbecue man.
Now, how do you plan your meal? Are you an early, like, let's eat during the Lions game because they suck kind of guy?
No,
or do you wait till
the
evening?
Actually, I'm a coordinator with whoever the mother of the house is, because you ain't going in nobody's kitchen that I know, or any black woman that I know.
You
are now one of them kitchens. You get bust up, Emma. You better sit out on the couch and get you a drink until somebody tell you it's time to eat.
I've been married 22 years.
You know, the layman white guy, let me tell you this. This is how I work in the black household. You don't walk in a black woman's kitchen with a whole bunch of food and everything around. You go in there and say, excuse me, can I get a drink? Yeah, baby, the refrigerator's over there. You get you a drink
Warren,
and you go back to the couch.
It's the same. name blacks and Italians are the same like that. Okay?
Yeah.
My wife's
I already
Italian.
Noticed. The more actually spawned it. Don't worry about it. I got you. No doubt about it. But
my wife, I have a good wife. I've been married 22 years.
Yeah,
knows,
you get told.
I'm a Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
she plans
too.
The dinner
yeah.
around me watching that.
That's it.
Oh,
you
is
know,
that
well,
right?
See,
oh,
see, you got a woman that loves you, see? Black women don't care nothing about that TV or that game. So you better be watching the game. you be watching the game, and we'll then get told, hey, it's time to eat. Then you're like, okay, third down, hold on, let me watch the third down. You're like,
yeah,
third down,
and yeah,
I get up on the punt.
Right.
I get up on the punt.
Yeah, Saps right. Don't
Emil,
go.
Emil,
don't,
you
don't
get
go.
Up on the punt. You fix you a plate real fast. And if the commercial is short, or you know something going on, and they come back to it, you be looking over like, no, you got to kick it off. And you know, you understand. You got a couple minutes, but
oh, yeah, God. Don't go straying in there too early, Emil, man. Like,
hold
hey,
on,
go get a check soda
old,
and sit down.
You get whopped. Boy, go get you a nice frosted beverage if you like an adult beverage, or go get you a Czech soda, one of them Ruby Reds. You'll be all right.
Hey, listen, I agree. I know I'm lucky. I hear stories all the time. She says, listen, that's what he likes to do. So we eat around 1:30, 2 o'clock. She knows I don't care if I miss 2 hours of the Lions game. That's great. You know, that adds years to my life. And then she has to watch the Cowboys.
Listen, when you're a Cowboy fan, there's nothing that gets in the way of the Cowboys. Because, listen, my sister-in-law married Alvin Harper. So I got a house full of Cowboy
wow.
fans with trophies and everything. So we sit around the table and eat like, I mean, it's crazy. But we don't sit around the table, not like that. The kids sit around the table. We don't be in front of the TV. We got football fans. I mean, you crazy? There's no way for to sit around. I mean, we're going to sit and pray. I mean, everybody going to grab hands, lock hands. We're going to say the prayer and everything, make sure that is absolutely, you know, on point. But after that, it's every man for himself. Release the hounds.
Oh, well, Sat, man, I know you're headed to a
oh,
really
no, no,
good
no.
Thanksgiving.
I
got to
tell you
sound like
this. You will love this. My my Thanksgiving this year, 2015, will be at the Campbell residence. Luther Campbell wife invited me over for Thanksgiving dinner. Yes. So I'm going to have a nice, subdued, nice, I mean, nothing foolish.
Subdued? That word doesn't sound like it goes with Luther Campbell, man.
And new wife? And
yeah,
kid?
I don't know about.
He's got a 5-year-old son in the house.
I just feel like they always got to be.
No, you go by
out.
Luther Campbell house, man, it's so clean and white and lovely, and the atmosphere, got kids, you'd run into toys. I looked at him, I say, yes, you have been domesticated.
Can I tell you how strange it was to be coaching a football game on the opposite side of the field against Luke?
Of
that
Luther
happened
Campbell.
In football season.
Of Luther Campbell,
yeah,
right?
It just felt strange as all hell.
He's domesticated. No doubt about it. He's domesticated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Congrats on that. Who thought that would ever happen? Well, listen, man, appreciate you coming on ahead of this Thanksgiving. And look, you know what? Next Tuesday, you can give us a report on how that subdued Thanksgiving with Luther Campbell went.
And we'll talk about Emil's two teams, the Jets and the Falcons.
How they're doing after Thanksgiving. You did warn me. You did warn me.
You got
me,
people saying the Falcons won't make it to the playoffs now.
Dog, the Falcons ain't going to the playoffs. And I mean, you know me. I've always been a Falcon killer. You know, not a Falcon hater. I've always been a Falcon killer because I call it Raymond James North. We used to go up in there and have a party. I mean the Falcons just aren't very good. I mean, don't think I just go in there and punch them in the mouth. They're going to run it high. I mean, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
They're going to run it
well,
high.
Listen, man.
They don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. They want to play pretty.
Well, you
yeah,
have yourself a great Thanksgiving, Sap. Enjoy it.
Listen, and I'll cook you a fried turkey as soon as you get to the great state of Florida and in the county of Dade. Have a
yep.
Okay, well, that's fair enough because I'm going to try to get down there this February with the wife for when it gets cold up here.
Oh,
and,
that's beautiful right there.
Yeah.
I'm a lot of free time. Come on through, baby. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll take
Hold
you
on.
Up on that. I show
Hold
up, Sap.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Sap.
Oh, trust me, I
appreciate
show up.
You coming
I
on,
don't
man.
Do nothing but show up and show out.
There you go. All right, man, looking forward to talking to you next Tuesday. Enjoy the Thanksgiving. All right, Warren Sapp there. Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. We're covering everything from
How about
fried
that? He's
going to
make me a fried turkey. I'm all excited.
Take pictures or video, please. Do a Snapchat. How about that of you heading down?
Of what? My fried turkey?
Yeah, your fried turkey deal with Mr. Warren Sapp. That's something that needs to be memorialized on video.
Well, I'm bringing you.
Do that. Oh, I may or may not be there. Who the hell knows? We'll take a quick break, and we'll end with the final segment of the Gridiron Stud Show right after this.
You want the truth? Well, here it is. Speed kills, and in no other sport is that true than in football. Speed gets you to the end zone. Speed gets you to the ball carrier. Speed makes you a winner. Do you want championship-type speed? Do you want speed that kills? Then Complete Speed is what you need. Complete Speed is turning athletes into game breakers. With quick and easy methods that are easy to understand, Complete Speed can shave time off your 40-yard dash, make you quicker and more explosive. They have a clear progression, drills, and exercises along with specific instructions. They also have proven sample workouts and programs for you, the individual, or for you, the coach. Speed is what you need, so hurry now and check out Complete Speed. Just go to gridironstuds.com/complete speed. That's gridironstuds.com/complete speed for more information right now.
We're back for a final segment of the Tuesday edition of the Gridiron Stud Show. And Sap goes a mile a minute, doesn't
it? Can I read
off
some of Luther Campbell's songs here? Because, you know I'm unfamiliar with rap.
Okay. You got to be familiar with Luther Campbell.
I know who he is, of course, but his songs, he's got It's Your Birthday. I know that.
One of my favorites, yes.
We Want
yes.
Some Pussy.
Uh-huh.
Face Down, Ass Up.
Uh-huh. This is the subdued Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Dirty nursery rhymes. Hoochie mama.
He's changed, though. He's not, there's no doubt. He has changed. He's, like Sap said, domesticated. And it did feel absolutely funny being on the opposite end of a football field coaching in a game against him this season. You know, I'm not sure if Sap appeared in it. I'm in a Luke video. Can you imagine that? Can you believe that?
Yeah, how are you in a video of when
oh,
was
you're
this?
Gonna have to. You're definitely gonna have to go YouTube that one. That's for sure.
What song?
That's from my playing days. You know, it happened within the first six months of me being at the University of Miami. You know, so that's definitely one you're gonna.
What
have
video
to,
is
I'm,
it? Tell me.
I'm at the end.
And what's the video? What name? What's the song?
Well, what's the name? What's the name of the song? What's the name of the song? Hold on one second here. Doing something.
Dick
entertain
Almighty.
Our fans. Well, no, I'm trying to see if I can find this on YouTube for you.
But I ain't bullshitting.
No, man. This is. Hey, where'd you get these songs from? You went and read these songs off of Google. Is that what you did?
I just pulled it up. There's everything that comes up, man. It gives me the album and everything.
You're crazy. Well, the name of the song is Doo-Doo Brown, okay? So you go look
Doo-Doo
up
Doo-Doo
Brown. Doo-Doo Brown on
okay.
YouTube.
And I'll look for
I'm
you.
I'm there at the end. It was part of the wildest night ever in his club, Luke's, down on Miami Beach. As you well know, he has an affinity for University of Miami football players. So
right.
We would get into Luke's free, and he was filming his video. All day he filmed his video. So he had a portion that he did at his home, with pool, and he had several players on the team that appeared in that. And then there was the evening shoot at his club, and, man, a really, really stupid wild night at his club that night, and you know, I ended up there at the end. I think I don't remember who's in the shot at the end. I'm pointing at the screen. Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing if you could figure out, you know, where I am in that video. But again, it's to the end. See if you can
well,
figure
you know,
out.
Well, you know, sometime this afternoon I'll be watching that video. So that
yeah,
that's
I know
special.
I know you will. But it was crazy in the room. I think I want to say Ice Cube was in the shot. It was Luke. And I forget some other celebrity there, but it was a wild night, and several of us appeared, and it became a little bit of a mini controversy that these University of Miami football players appeared in a video with Luther Campbell. So
the NCAA didn't like that.
That went down.
They didn't like anything that we did. They didn't like that we took the field every Saturday. So I really feel like at a certain point, the NCAA and its rule members or whoever made up that thing just plotted on the University of Miami year after year.
Well, at that
they
point,
just spent
they did.
Every
you guys
moment.
Were winning
yeah,
too much.
Spent,
you know the NCAA
yeah.
rule. You can't win too
which
much.
Which I think was bad for college football, if you ask me, Emil. It really was bad for college football that you went about it. And you systematically tried to destroy a program that brought a lot of attention to college football. I don't know if in this day and age, Emil, something like that would happen. Because we are so much more savvy about capturing eyeballs and capturing market share in terms of viewing audience. I don't know if in this day and age if the University of Miami would have come around in the 2000, if they would have started in 2010 doing what we were doing, if systematically the NCAA would have tried to, you know, dismantle the University of Miami. Back then, a little archaic.
I don't think they truly understood, you know, the power
of marketing
as they do now.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we...
Do we have 5 minutes
time
before we're off? Because I got something for you here.
Absolutely. Have at it. Better be good.
Okay, before we go, because, you know, we're not going to be on before Thanksgiving. So why don't we, I was thinking about this, since we're not going to be on before Thanksgiving. I know I'm hitting you out of left field here. Go down the NFL games on Thanksgiving, since that's really the focal point. We'll just go through each game.
Share some opinions, because I don't have any hard opinions. I got to be honest with you. I haven't looked at them. I'm still...
Okay, I mean, we'll
still,
have some saying. I know you didn't do your homework.
We might, depending on you, we might have a little bit more time. We do need to recap what we did this weekend. Why don't we start with that, and then we hit these games on the way out. Fair or unfair?
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's see. We'll start with the college. You know, I'll let you go second there since you can brag a little bit. In college, not a great week for me. I was 1-2. I had been doing decent in college until this week. I started off with taking Louisville +2. They got handled at Pittsburgh quite easily, and I give Pitt credit. Pitt
I don't know
nice
what's happened
season.
There. I don't know what's happened there because that, I thought, was a solid pick, but they have, they've fallen in the toilet over there at Louisville.
They did, and
Pitt
had a solid season. Pitt. Pardon?
Yeah, I missed you there. You hopped out. Pitt
no,
had,
I said
a, solid
Pitt had
season.
A solid season.
Pitt's going to be a problem for the University of Miami this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
now,
so.
I took a loss in the next game, and, you know, obviously when we get to your picks, you and I were opposite on this game, and good job by you. I mean, I should have my head checked. I took Wisconsin laying 10, and as the game started and they played for a while, I realized there was no way Wisconsin could score enough points
you
to cover a 10-point spread. I watched
you
a couple
the game?
First. Yeah, early on, and I just turned it off. I said, this is over. I mean, I just watched Wisconsin offense, and I said, what the hell was I thinking making this pick? I took a loss there. And then my only winner, I laid 11 with Stanford. I just felt that that's a quality program right now. David Shaw does a really good job. I felt like they would shake the Oregon game quickly and sew up the Pac-12 North with a win over their arch rival Cal, and they did that 35-22. They were up by 19, so you really weren't sweating it at the end. They covered the 11. So I was 1-2 on the day, dropping my college record to 21-15.
Still a decent record. No, you know, nothing to be upset about right there.
That.
If you're, what are you, 6 games over .500 there, so definitely a good deal. Well, I got back on track. I went 0-3 last week. Talk about Jekyll and Hyde. 0-3 last week. This week came back with a 3-0, and it started off with. Let's talk about that game, Northwestern and Wisconsin. I know Northwestern plays good defense. I knew Wisconsin was offensively challenged. And I wasn't sure that Wisconsin would score more than twice in this football game. And I thought Northwestern only needed to find some kind of a score, whether it was a field goal, something. And they would you know, be inside this number. So that worked out for me. Went with Michigan versus Penn State. I got to tell you, I was a little iffy on that one because I was worried about the game next week that Michigan's going to be involved in and thought, maybe there's a chance. But I've seen Penn State play, and I'm just – didn't think that they would be a good match against Michigan's defense if Michigan came to play the way that they needed to play. And seeing as though Michigan, in the eyes, at least before we went into this last weekend, being the underdog in that Michigan-Ohio State matchup next week, I thought they would be the team out of those two that would need to prove something in the game the week before. I've noticed that over the years that the team that is the underdog in the big matchup usually has something to prove the week before. So I went on that premise and rode with Michigan. And then Minnesota versus Illinois. Illinois, with the exception of one game this year, has just not been a very good road team. And I knew Minnesota would be playing hard for the coach that's leaving
after
the season.
You do know how you
season,
won that so. Game, right?
Which one? Illinois and Minnesota?
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm not complaining. You cashed a ticket. Do you know how you won?
No, I didn't see the game.
The kid from Minnesota, running out the clock with over 2 minutes left, ripped off whatever, a 60-plus yard run, touchdown, and the coach, smartly, by the way, I think, went for two because he said, hey, listen, I'm up 30-23. Most coaches kick the extra. And then, okay, well, the game's still a one-score game. He went for two, knowing that even if I miss it, they're just going to kick the extra and send it to overtime instead of, you know, the only thing I'm losing is making the other team score 2 points. I can end the game right here. He went for two, got it, and they won 32-23.
And you got to love that kind of thinking at the end of the game because, you know, a lot of times, you know, people just don't even give that a thought. They screw that part up. And that's what people think is a small part of a game that's actually a bigger part of the game than people care to realize. Just the what do you do after a touchdown late in the game?
Absolutely refreshing because for years I would sit there as a fan. Now, point spread aside, sometimes it doesn't work. But as a fan, I'd say, well, wait, if I score and it puts me up seven and I merely kick the extra point, all I've really ensured is if the other team scores a touchdown,
they have a
chance. They got to make a 2-point conversion. If I miss the 2-pointer, if I go for it, they're going to kick the extra anyway and send it into overtime. So either way,
I wonder if that's
I'm pretty much.
I wonder if that's on the chart.
I think you should always, when you're up seven and you have a chance to kick an extra to go up eight or go for two, I think you should always go for two. Because if the other team scores, if you allow a touchdown drive, the only thing they're going to do is kick the extra anyway and send you to overtime. And
unless
you know
you're
what?
Gary
yeah,
Patterson.
Of course, unless
you're
Gary
Patterson, you're going for two and trying to get the win there. Actually, a move I agree with when you're on the road. I'm with Gary Patterson 100% on that. I don't want to play an overtime game with you in your stadium. Just, nah.
Let me tell
I
you,
99% right
of the
I got
time, I'm with Gary Patterson there. The only problem I have in that particular situation, he had scored 16 unanswered points, and he was playing against the backup quarterback. That's the only reason I probably would say I'll take my chances in overtime. I got momentum.
Well, wouldn't you say
got...
in that instance, of, how about this train of thought? You know, you got momentum. I got these guys on the ropes. They're reeling. You know, if I let it go to overtime, they get a chance to, you know, sigh and breathe and collect themselves. If I got you against the ropes, man, I'm going for the uppercut.
I understand.
That'd be my thought process.
But it's one football play, and anything can go wrong on one football play, whereas if I kick the extra point, I like my chances against their quarterback in that spot because he hasn't played much all year. That's
yeah, I guess
logic.
There's several trains of thought on that, and you could, you know, I guess second guess it now since they came up short. But I wonder if Gary Patterson makes that same decision if they're an undefeated football team going into that game. I wonder.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. All right, nevertheless, 3-0.
Okay, so you go
me.
3-0. Your record is 23-13, and that's actually quite impressive. Good job. Good job by you.
Yeah, I needed that comeback because I'm not doing anything in the National Football League. Let's talk about that. My NFL picks started off rainy and, you know, it was just one of those weekends for me. Thank God Cincinnati came through, but they almost didn't. I start off with the Miami Dolphins. Thought for sure they could get themselves a win at home. They really, really need it. Maybe Tony Romo would be rusty. And, you know, the Cowboys have been beaten down. I know they might get a little bit of a charge with Romo coming back, but they just didn't know how to win a football game. Well, they found out how to win a football game. They rediscovered that whole feeling against the Miami Dolphins. That cost me a pick there. I did go with Minnesota. You know what? I should have smelled a rat when they were below 3 points here. A team with a better record, just in general. When you're at home and you're the team with a better record and the odds makers don't think enough of you to give you at least a field goal as a favorite in this game, that says something. What it says was Green Bay was on their way to fixing whatever the hell's been going on the last 3 weeks, and they did. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers. But the biggest thing for Green Bay in this game was that, you know, man, they turned around and handed the damn ball to Eddie Lacy. And they did a good job of you know, being consistent with their running game, and then kind of showed the Vikings who's boss go into Minnesota and get a win. So that was loss number
two.
Yeah,
they flapped them around pretty good in the second half.
They did. They really did. And in Cincinnati, late at night, they did stay inside this number, though they had several occasions there late in the game where they were trying to give it away and send me catapulting to an 0-3, which would have been my back-to-back 0-3 NFL Sunday. But nevertheless, they came through at the end, and I ended up 1-2. Where does that put my miserable NFL record?
12-18.
Good.
A couple
Lord
pushes,
almighty.
Too.
Well,
my Sunday in the NFL for once was, it was good for me. I started with Miami like you, and I felt all the things you said. You know, I'm even as a Cowboy fan, I said, geez, you know, it's hard to just insert a guy who loses 7 games in a row and then win. My God, you know, it's, I'll tell you what. I think Cowboy fans realize just how valuable a player now Tony Romo is, because to get off the bench and not play in 8 weeks, take a team on a 7-game losing streak, go on the road and win, that's impressive.
Mm. Yeah,
and,
no question. Can't take
that
away
from him. There. No, we took a loss. Then the pick you scoffed at a little. I sensed it in your voice. I know you long enough. I took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 6, and my logic was quite simple. For some godforsaken reason, Chip Kelly has convinced everybody except other NFL coaches that he's a genius. And that includes Las Vegas. They just keep inserting this guy as a 6- and 7-point favorite at home. And in the NFL, when you're a 6- and 7-point favorite, even at home, that's a pretty big favorite. The week before, he was that favorite against Miami. They lost outright. Now he has his backup quarterback playing a very young and up-and-coming Tampa team that has something to prove. And again, they make him a 6-point favorite. And Tampa Bay just went in there and trampled them. That was
how do you, as the Philadelphia Eagles, let a rookie quarterback come in your stadium and toss 5 touchdowns
and hang 45 points on you? Yeah, I mean, it's
how in the hell do you do that? How
I mean,
about
let's not
how about
forget
my
this.
Rookie of the Year pick coming looking
oh, yeah.
like
yeah, no, he's looking
I'm going
to
pat my
I mean,
back heavily if he wins that award. I'm telling you right now.
Well, you're going to break your elbow patting your back.
I picked a Florida State guy too. So,
yeah, I know, but no, he looked great. Tampa
looking
rolled. They rolled, and that was a win for me very easily. And then finally, another easy win. I just looked at Kansas City, and I said, you know, it's a team that early in the year I was surprised at how bad they were, and because I thought they were better than this. And they've been playing very well lately. I think that this was their 4th win in a row Sunday. And the Chargers, there's just something missing there. I mean, the roster's not nearly as bad as the results. But for some reason, the Chargers just are not what we're used to seeing out there. And Kansas City was a 3-point road favorite, and they just went out there and completely waxed the San Diego Chargers, 33-3. So that was an easy win. 2-1 for the weekend. I'm thrilled. My NFL hasn't been up to par this year. I'm 11-20. I still have work to do, but I think I got it right, and I'm going in the right direction here.
God, I hope you're right. We need it.
Yeah.
We need it. Yes. Our combined records in the NFL are tragic right now. You'd be doing pretty well if you've gone the opposite way on us. Okay, let's talk about the Thursday, the Thanksgiving Day NFL games, which I think is a pretty decent lineup.
Not bad for Thursday.
Yeah,
first,
NFL
we start
wise.
Off the 12:30 game. I call it the turkey game. I'll watch the first half and then get called to dinner, and then, you know, check it on the phone if it's close. But you know, because the wife has to put some music on in the background.
I never eat dinner that early. Never. It'll never be during that noon game. It's always going to be post 4 o'clock. Usually 6 o'clock, we sit down and eat. So that'll be somewhere around halftime of that Carolina.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we got
the Eagles are
a pick against the Lions, and I'm going to tell you
why.
Again,
why?
I don't know. I'm going against the Eagles again on the road. There's a lot of dissent down there. We've heard the stories now that Eagle players are calling DeMarco Murray out. That didn't take long. He's not running hard, sliding before the marker. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen it because I don't watch enough of their games. But he got the money now, and he's realizing it's in the bank. And I want to enjoy
it. Clarence,
with
good.
My kid.
Why is he sliding?
I don't know. Apparently, he was a 3rd-and-1, and he turned the corner against Miami and saw the corner step up, and they said he slid before the marker. I never saw
him. He did a Sean Alexander. He really did that? He did a Sean Alexander?
Yes, he did a Sean Alexander, apparently.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. Detroit
back-to-back
wins.
So what do you think about this game?
Detroit back-to-back wins. I mean, the line scares me. to be honest with you. And, you know, I know what you said, that for some reason they're in love with Chip Kelly, but after the two games they just played, why the hell? The Lions are off of back-to-back wins. They're at home. It's Thanksgiving. It's a short week. Why the hell are the Eagles anywhere close to being a favorite? I guess I got to go with the Lions, but I'm a little leery of this line. I smell a rat. I smell fish.
I think the Eagles are a very strong public play because of Chip Kelly. I think the average football fan sees the Eagles against sub-500 teams, and that's really kind of what the Dolphins and Bucks were, and the line gets inflated. And in this case, even though they're on the road, they're 4-6 playing the Lions, who are 3-7. What the public doesn't take into account is the Lions are playing better of the two. They just look at the records. They pick up their New York Post. They see Eagles 4-6, Chip Kelly, genius, need win. And that's how I think it happens, really. I think.
You just quoted probably an actual headline. I'd lean the Lions' way. It's a short week for the Eagles, and good, you know, they just, you know, with a team like the Eagles that faces a whole bunch of plays every week on defense, to have a short week and not heal up, never a good deal for them. They're the worst team, I think, to probably be picking on a short week. There's a big one for your Cowboys, man.
Second game, your favorite team and my favorite team. We got you're a closet Panther fan and Cam Newton. They're a 1.5-point road favorite coming in at 10-0 against the Cowboys.
I think this is a legit shot for the Panthers' undefeated season to end. Again, we got the short week deal going again for the Carolina Panthers. You're playing a Cowboys team that's energized now. They got their quarterback back, and he immediately paid off dividends. And you know, I think it's a dangerous game for Carolina, though. I couldn't pick this, you know, for nothing. You know, if Carolina
Well, one thing I learned watching Romo Sunday is they're going to beat the Cowboys. Well, Romo's aged like good wine. I mean, he's 35, and honestly, the last 2 years is the best football I've ever seen him play. The way he controls the game anymore. I mean, quarterback is he's made the actual playing of quarterback secondary now. Now he's a manager. He gets to the line. He's like having an offensive coordinator on the field. I think that energizes this team, and I think a 10-0 team coming in really actually helps the Cowboys in this case, because they certainly aren't going to take the Panthers lightly. I'd be actually more concerned for a team like Dallas having a losing team coming in here and just figuring, okay, this is one we get to put in the bank. I have a feeling you're going to get an upset here. I really do.
Yeah,
I have a feeling you're going
to I certainly
here.
Feel like it's possible, but it's a difficult game for me to pick. I just think if Carolina comes and plays Carolina football, they're going to beat the Cowboys. But the Cowboys have to be energized, man. They have to be energized with getting their quarterback back and getting a tough road victory. There's a certain amount of confidence I think they're going to be entering this game with, and that's going to be dangerous for Carolina. This late game, I don't know why. I just feel like Chicago could hang around this number for some reason.
I do, too.
That's a big win.
Actually,
that's a big win the Packers
is...
got on the road. So, you know, I think they might be in a little bit of trouble covering this number, but not really in danger of losing this game. Packers can't come off of this Minnesota win and then, you know, come back with a loss against the Chicago Bears at home. No way.
No. I think 9
but
points
Chicago's
is just way
playing
too
tough,
many
though.
Here.
Chicago...
Yeah, they are. They're playing good ball. They're hanging in. They showed something fighting back against Denver last week. I hated the two-point call they ran. I thought that was, you know, they fooled Denver running the ball with no timeouts left to get the score to 17-15. And then on the two-point play, they turn around and run basically the same play. I like some sort of run-pass option with the quarterback rolling out because it gives me a chance if the play breaks down for something goofy to happen and the quarterback just gets free and runs it in. I hate those, you know, where you just run straight up the middle and the game's over, you know. I mean, it's like...
Yeah. Chicago's worked pretty good the last couple of weeks off of a good running game. They didn't have it last week. You know, we'll see if the Packers attack the Chicago run game in the same fashion that they attacked Minnesota's and holding Adrian Peterson in check. Alshon Jeffrey being able to play for the Bears will be big in this one. If he's in there, I really like them to hang around this number, and I believe he is going to be playing in this game, so... nine's a little too much talk, in my opinion. So
there you have it. Everybody should be on the Panthers, the Packers, and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, so say Mr. 11-20 and Mr. What the
no,
heck
that's
am
what
I?
I'm saying. Go the opposite.
yeah, absolutely. So that's where we're at. So, you know, I'm
I'm going to have a good Thanksgiving. I know that. I know you will as well. And we'll see you back here on Friday. There will be, obviously, no Thanksgiving show, so I won't have a Thursday show. I am looking to have my recruiting roundtable on Wednesday. I do need to round up my guys, make sure they're not all traveling. But I don't know. I got to round up the roundtable of recruiting reporters and see how many of them I can get landed on this show for tomorrow. So please stay tuned for that. And, again, that one's at 8 p.m. And then, you know, it'd be hard for me, Emil, to top last Wednesday's show, which was absolutely crazy. But, you know, you never know. The Internet and social media provides you with opportunities all the time. But, nevertheless, if you're listening today, we'd like to thank you very much for listening to the Gridiron Stud Show, to myself, to Warren Sapp. I'm Chad Wilson. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes. Of some stranger's hand in a desperate land.
To all you high school recruits out there, you want to get recruited by the colleges? Step up and visit GridironStuds.com today. We got college coaches visiting. We've got people visiting. We've got fans visiting. If you want to be seen, get your video up there right now. It's easy. Create a profile. Takes 2 minutes. Stop playing games. Get off of Facebook. Take control of your future. GridironStuds.com is where you need to be today. Visit now. Set your profile up and let yourself be seen.